and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd. As a little after 11 o'clock in the morning, once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today's show is a continuation of last week's show, where we was bombarded with all kind of calls. In fact, our text line is already overwhelmed with text because of anticipation of today's show. I am a little uneasy with today's show because it pricks against my faith, making me seem like I know how to worship and stuff. So, as usual, we have our critical theologist in-house, right? Reverend Cleveland Enius III, a person who has got his PhD in studying various religions, and he is the Calhoun of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in the Bahamas. It's a church that has a different perspective of Christianity. In fact, they call it Christianity. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You're getting better every week.
That's good. I'm getting there every week. Mm-hmm. My stepfather says, stop inviting you here because you corrupted me. But that's okay. That's okay. Right? Christianity, where his view is that these religions basically start from an African perspective, and that technically, people just adopted and copied Africa in terms of their pursuit of God. His religion also has the various books, sacred books, lost books, apocrypha type books, emerald stone books, papyrus? The scrolls of Egypt.
Yeah, the papyruses.
Yes, scrolls and all these things, right? But today's topic is about the foundations of this earth. It's creation story in terms of how this earth was created. I, a person who reads the Bible, know that in the beginning, which is the difference between at the beginning, because in and at is two different prepositions. But in the beginning, God created the earth, and this world was round. You hear me say it? This world was round. And he separated the waters from up above from down below. Then he started shaping up all kind of stars and moons and thing after that. But I'm going to ask Uncle to explain that, and we can continue our conversation about whether this earth we live on is flat or not. Whether there's some kind of great conspiracy by certain set of people. Right? A certain set of people who were trying to hide the truth from the masses by crafting a story about creation in order to keep us in darkness because they have a secret agenda. We're going to discuss that. But I want to discuss Aaron and Uncle, a concept about creation, because I just realized there is a group of Christians whose whole premise, after they become reverends, they get a PhD in creationology, I hope I pronounced that right, where they analyze the creation story and have documents, papers, thesis, where they put forward, and you normally see this in the Roman Catholic Church, also the Anglican Church, and the Eastern Church, where they have specialists who, besides being priests, their job is to perfect a degree. And one of these degrees is besides science and history and archaeology, with their priestly duties, they pursue these advanced degrees. And one of these advanced degrees is the creation theology or theory. Go ahead.
So I tell people, if you can right now while you're listening, search. I just searched the word he used, creation theology. Wow. Right? I like it. We're going to coined that.
That a real word?
No, but we can coin it. It is now. Creation Theology, the Good News of Redemption. This is like a whole website, mm-hmm. creationtheology.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I tell people, so they could follow. Yes. I had to look it up to follow.
Yeah. So I also want to read, I let Aaron do that too, quickly, so before Ankur interrupts himself. Read Genesis, get up quickly, Genesis 1. We will read chapter 1, in the beginning part, the verse 1 and verse 2. Because that's what I'm going to bait Ankur Sara on before he introduces himself formally, right? So I want everyone to follow us, especially those who called last week about this flat earth. Because my goal is to debunk it today regarding this Bible or the other scriptures. And if you have ideas on this earth being flat, yep, call in. Go ahead, Aaron.
Genesis 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
So we are now in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle would say that centuries of time passed after this verse 1 before you go to verse 2.
You don't know you never heard Father Palacios tell a joke? They say the man asked God for help.
Go ahead quickly.
He said, you know, I need some help. Right now, like, you know, right now. And God say, yeah, man, I got your back. And the boy's just sitting there waiting, right? And anyway, the joke is that to God, one day could be 700 years. You're one day, you know, right? Would you, you're 700 years is one day for God.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, yeah. So the time is off. It's like
Earth time and God
time. It's like Perichristi time. Just that's, off.
Yeah, I understand. Read verse one. That verse one again.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
So what two things did God create in the beginning, Aaron?
The heaven and the earth.
So it's one heaven, one earth. Now, read the second verse there.
And the earth was without form
mm-hmm.
and void.
Mm-hmm.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Mm-hmm. Finish reading.
Verse 3.
Yeah, go ahead.
And God said, let there be light. And so, there was light.
So was there light before the heaven and earth or light after the heaven and earth? Hypothetical question. Go ahead.
Continue reading?
Yeah, continue reading.
Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
So now we know heaven and earth was created. The light was now created in verse 3. And then God divided the light and the day.
I could ask another hypothetical question.
Go ahead.
If the darkness existed twice.
Yeah, God was in darkness.
And it didn't say that. I just need you to know that I didn't read that God was in darkness.
Did you see?
It just said there was darkness.
Did it say God created darkness so far in your read? No, right? When he created light.
No, God created the heaven and the earth, and uh-huh. the earth was without form. Uh-huh. Was it without form after he created it?
No, we explain.
I'm just saying, it's hypothetical.
I can explain that later on.
Okay.
But I want to know, did he create darkness?
My interpretation.
No,
of
just say what it reads. Don't interpret that. Just say what it reads, man. What is that? What
do you verse two, it? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. What I want to say, if the darkness was here first, and then God created the light, why he had to divide it? It seems like they already came like in separate packages. I just, a hypothetical I was asking you.
Light was so bright it moved, but darkness doesn't exist where light is.
So why he had to separate them if they separated themselves?
To make space for darkness again.
Okay.
But anyway. That's what I want to read.
Verse 5?
Yeah, go ahead.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day.
Okay, we'll stop right here and introduce our guest, Calhoun Ankur Sara, Reverend Cleveland Enius III, who is the Calhoun or pastor of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. His degree is, he has a PhD in critical theology, where he critique and analyze different religions. He has a black perspective, an African perspective, better word, of Christianity. And I want to formally introduce him. Go ahead, Uncle Sir.
Good morning. I have fun listening to y'all's pre-conversation, I call it, you know, before we dive into everything. My name, again, is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Calhoun Ankur Sara. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah in the Bahamas, and we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Basesh, our head scribe, our Coptic Pope. His name is Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. This is obviously an important conversation because it truly sets the tone for how we appreciate what we obviously read later in the Bible. The verses that were being read initially, Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis 1, verse 2, as we've spoken of it before, there were verses removed from in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2.
Did you know that, Aaron? Go ahead, finish, Uncle.
All right. And it was in relation to an actual meteorite shower, right? This is important because when we look at this creation story, we have to appreciate the fact that it wasn't the very, very beginning of all existence, but instead it was a recreation. All right? Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, it reads, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Now, that sounds exactly like Genesis chapter 1, which you just read.
Do you think it sounded like Genesis?
I mean, it sounded exactly.
Like exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I beheld, verse 24 of Jeremiah 4, the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Something was moving these mountains. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. Well, they were already birds, because they were fleeing. Mm-hmm. I beheld, and then there was men there already, because it's saying no man was there. So the birds had left, the men had left, right? Verse 26 of Jeremiah 4, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities, there were already fruitful places, there were already cities, therefore was broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. There will be a replenishment. Verse 28, for this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above the block, because I have spoken it. I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. So it talks about the heavens above the block, above the debris, above, because there was a meteorite shower within the Barashith, the African book of Genesis. It talks about this period being 17,250,000 years ago. The actual impact of the meteorite shower, and one of the things our Basesh, Dr. A.J. Varma, explains to us, he said it wasn't like one meteorite hit. He said, imagine being in a shower, water hitting you as quickly as that water hits you. That's how meteorites were hitting the planet, creating a dust cloud that blocked the cloud out. This is why it would say the heavens above the block. You understand? It's talking about the actual impact of these meteorite or meteors and the fact that there were people who obviously died because they didn't know where to go. But then you had others who went in caves. You had others who went in the earth, as we were talking about last week, this place in the earth. And there were others who went behind waterfalls in order to survive this period of darkness. All right. So after this destruction now, there was a replenishment, something that has happened many, many times on this planet. All right. I say a lot to say that the story itself, we talked about time and the relation of man's time versus God's time. They will talk about 1,000 years to the Lord is one day, and one day 1,000 years, right? This is talking about the reality of beings that are similar to us because we were made in their image and after their likeness. However, they are in a different time zone. Now, what does that mean? Our time is calculated based on the distance of this planet from the sun. So a planet that is closer to the sun will have a different time zone, a planet further away from the sun, as Earth being the reference, would have a different time zone. The rotation speed on the axis also determines the time with regard to there being, they say, 24 hours or 23 hours, 56 minutes, depending on who you ask, right? So all of these things, you have to have your science book open with your Bible, okay? Because the processes of creation are dictated by the laws of science, okay? There's not something just clipping its finger and poof, things are just magically appearing. There are processes that are in place that allow for things to manifest according to the laws of physics, chemistry, biology, etc. And when we use that type of reasoning along with reading our scriptures, we can see the fullness of the scripture, whereby we view it the way that the Most High intended for it to be viewed.
Hold on. Just before you speak, you know he upset the atheists, the scientists, and the Christians just now. Everybody don't know what to say.
I want to know what you mean by this earth was destroyed several times.
Well, when we say destroyed, the conditions that allow we as human beings to live was destroyed. You understand? Because people always say, save the earth. The earth is going to be fine. Mm-hmm. The conditions that we need to live in as human beings is going to be destroyed if we don't do what is necessary to maintain, you know, then talk about global warming, et cetera. If we don't maintain the conditions for us, we're in trouble. The earth will just go through its cycle and heal itself as it is doing right now.
But you hear contemporary scientists saying all the time and environmental advocates, we're in the fifth mass extinction period, right? They expect a fifth mass extinction, which means that they must have documented or think they documented four previous mass extinctions.
Right.
But like Dr. Enia said, it's not that the earth blew up and then reformed, right? The whole Big Bang process happened again. It's that the conditions necessary for human existence, right? The mass extinction is a human extinction.
Right, right.
Let's read this. Genesis 1, 6 to 8. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. I know firmament means sky or whatever it is. And I know where the water is. But it seems as if our Lord has put the sky in the middle of the water, right? And let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above, and above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. So I am confused there, because we go into this flat earth theory, right? But it seems as if there's water in the sky. And not no raindrops, because I understand condensation and moisture and clouds. This seems to be water,
right,
in the sky, separated by a firmament.
So you have in the skies what is referred to as an asteroid belt. And you have the waters beneath, which are the planets like Earth that bear water underneath the asteroid belt. And then you have those planets above the asteroid belt. So it's talking about separating two sets of planets in the celestial heavens. You also have on Earth, remember this story is taking place in the African continent, all right? The very first country that is mentioned in the Bible is Ethiopia, even though there's no mention of the creation of Ethiopia, okay? In Genesis, I think it's chapter 2, it mentions Ethiopia, but it never mentions when Ethiopia was created, all right? It mentions four rivers, the White Nile, the Blue Nile, or the Gihon and the Pihon, and then you talk about the Tigris and Euphrates, all right? So in the African theology, we understand, because this is an African book, so if we're going to appreciate what is actually trying to say, we got to look at it with African eyes, okay? This book is saying to us that there is a principle called as above, so below. All right. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever's happening in the heavens is being reflected on earth. All right. So you have these firmaments in the heavens, but then you also have this separation on earth where you have the waters in some cases are fresh versus salt water. That's a form of separation. You also had, and I'm saying it as quickly as I can based on the time that we have, because if I had more time, if we had 4 or 5 hours, we could slow down and really look at it. You also had the fact that because this was a replenishment, you were separating males and females so that they would not reproduce at this time because the environment was not conducive for raising children at that time. So there was a separation between men and women in terms of saying, do not reproduce at this time. All right? Because what was being recreated were the universities, the four universities of earth, wind, water, and fire, or ANKH, this idea of the Ankh. This is why in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about the creation of light. And then in verse 14, it talks about the creation of light again. Because the first creation of light was talking about a mental illumination. And then the second was talking about the removal of the dust clouds so that the sun could once again shine through. So this is all mentioned in the Bereshith, or this African book of Genesis. Now, when it talks about this reality, what it was saying was, we have to ultimately get things in order so that life as we once knew it for this group of beings that are similar to us, but they're not exactly like us. They said we were in their image and after their likeness, right? They had to create a sphere, okay, a boga.
Dome.
A dome.
That circles the earth.
Circles the earth that is permeating from the womb of the earth, this magnetic core, whereby you have what's called a magnetosphere, right? And this magnetosphere, or this atmosphere is seven layers. And those seven layers of the atmosphere, this is again another principle of as above, so below. When you see a rainbow, that rainbow has seven colors, but that is indicative of the seven spheres that actually are around the planet that protects beings like us from the UV rays.
Or the waters above.
So that the waters above, because you have, again, the actual oceans, the lakes, the rivers, etc. All right, but then you have waters in terms of water vapor. That is also, because we're breathing water vapor. We're not just breathing air, we're breathing water vapor.
I was waiting for him to look at me again like that so I could tell him, like, you didn't know that air is less dense water?
Yeah.
Like, the air is just less dense water.
Yeah. I talk about oceans above us. The dome is protecting us from the separating the waters.
So that's something that...
What I'm telling you is the atmosphere, right, which is less dense water, protects us. It separates the less dense water from the ocean, the dense water.
The atmosphere is a part of the earth. There is a firmament.
Is it?
There's a firmament above that protects us from the ocean in space.
The atmosphere is the firmament.
So now y'all have to explain that.
Yeah,
I didn't say that.
Let's go to the callers there. All the lags are blinking. Let's go to the callers there. Go ahead, Garden Radio AM with CA Nuri. Aaron Green is with me. And, of course, we have Cahoon, Dr. Clement Enius III here also. Go ahead,
Cahoon. Oh, boy. Good day, everybody.
Good day.
You guys are flattered, but then I had to really chime in because I was listening to Mr. Anku.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I was a little bit confused because I think the Bible was really clear and simple when it said what it said, you know? And I think Susie Nuri just kind of hitting it on it. It is what it is, but is water above us? Is there a firmament that separates us from the waters? Because in the Bible also, when we talk about this this atmospheric water, which we talk as the vapors, you know, God refers, the Bible talks about it as mist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when he made man, that's when he brought this mist into the picture.
And
when
he
used to mix with the ground and the clay, in which he formed us over this likeness and image, that which is the spirit in my mind. And so, you know, for me to be clear with me in terms of the firmament, in terms of the water above us.
Let me say this
below us.
Before you go any further. I made it clear. Now, Nuri introduced that other thought you're talking about. I talked about the asteroid belt being the firmament. You understand? And it's separating planets above, water planets above and water planets below. That's what I mentioned. Now, Nuri mentioned some other stuff.
No, Nuri, I understood what Nuri was saying. That's why I said you kind of lost me because I didn't understand the connection with the asteroid belt and the firmament.
Right. So the asteroid belt is one of the firmaments.
Mm-hmm. Before you go, Colin, why do you believe the Earth is flat? Before you go.
Again, because I said to you, If I was living in a on a cell, if I was living in a circle, I would have been built to adapt to that type of living. When I at certain elevations, we have to crush, we climb, we have to change our position in order to now achieve certain movements. Secondly, if I plant a tree, I see in the ground and I grow a tree. That tree don't ever move. It's fixed in the earth. So if the earth moved as it said it does, then that tree would have been there. But when time moved to 1 o'clock, that tree also would move also. And then what I look at, what really moves is really what does. The sky, the birds, anything that is not fixed, the earth, it has freedom of movement. Humans, everything else is free to move except for earth. Okay, and that's really what gave me that understanding why I think that, you know, the earth is not what they say or taught us to be, but it's flat. And based on the scriptures, because when you read into the scriptures, as the word describes how the earth was created, we start to understand it. We know then this globe or this round theory, and it eliminates a lot of other things. And then sometimes scientists now start to understand that when you talk about the firmament and the waters above and the waters below and how they access space, they go through waters to access space and not of how they pictured or they taught us that they travel in outer space, rocket ships and land on the moon. When I know the moon isn't a physical object, it's illumination, it's a light. That's a light, that's what the Bible say. It didn't say it's an object, physical object. It says I created two lights, a greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and a lesser light, the moon, to rule the night.
So the sun ain't physically though?
How could it if it's a light?
So, Carla, let me ask you another question. Have you ever seen a tree growing towards the direction of the sun? For instance, I had a lot of trees in my yard and some smaller trees growing up under larger trees, right? Mm-hmm. And I watched the smaller tree grow towards the light. It's almost like it's leaning over to escape. You don't think that's like evidence of a not flat earth? If the trees were just growing to the light, they would just grow up. If it was a flat earth and the light was just above, it would just grow up.
You know why? Because of shade. The tree is moving from shade to get the light. That's why it alters its position. So that's the freedom of the tree. The target is the light. But if there's impediment of darkness hindering that light from the tree reaching that light to create food, the tree would then go towards that
direction. I just wanted Carla to know that all the lights in here are physical. I could touch them. We have like one,
you
two,
can't
three.
Can't touch the sun.
No, I'm talking about he said anything that's a light.
But we know,
thank you very much.
Science says the sun is a ball of gas. That ain't physical. Gas is
physical. Gas is one of the states of physical matter.
You put your hand through the sun.
You have gas, you have solid, you have liquid. Those are three states.
Gas ain't solid. I mean, the sun ain't solid.
Like gas
moon,
is solid.
The moon can't be solid because the moon is gas.
In a gas, the molecules are just less densely packed.
Right.
So you believe the moon is something to land on?
You know what's interesting? Did y'all see the promo for the new movie Fly Me to the Moon?
No.
Where they fake the moon landing because they say the race to the moon is so important between the U.S. and Russia. Just in case we don't make it, we should fake it. Just in case we don't make it, right. Actually, we should
fake it. So you don't believe
it.
The moon is a ball of gas?
I'm just saying the people making the movie.
Let's
go to the next one.
Let's hear. I'm learning today.
Very densely packed gases. Yeah,
learning today.
Go ahead, Carla. Producer, pass the call through. Go ahead, Carla. You hear me?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Neary. Morning, Mr. Neary. Morning, Ms. Green. And
I'm not here. Yes. I ain't here. No. Tell old lion, am I?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's you.
Morning, bro.
Yeah, morning. But like it with my CA, man, this thing could be long enough. But what I'm going to say, CA, is that, and especially to the brother Anku, is that, you, like I told you, we have to understand where certain information first showed its head and who is responsible for it. You know, none of the great civilizations thought that the earth was no ball. You know what I mean? And Newton Gabb, the depiction of Newton Gabb, which is ancient Kemet's depiction, it shows that. Newton Gabb shows that. Newton Gabb is proof of that.
No, that's not. That's not true.
One is the firmament with all the heavenly bodies inside, and the other is the earth.
So let's pause there for a second, right?
Make it quick, Nangu. Let's go quick. Yeah, let's go quick.
When the earth enters Nut, passes through the houses and then comes out of Nut, where does the sun go?
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Don't make that claim that's proof of what you're saying.
Hold on, bro. Come on, bro. What I'm trying to say is that it does not depict a ball suspended in air. All right, that's what I'm trying to say to you. And what I want to say to you is that is in the 1500s that the globe theory became a big thing, heliocentric model, and it was done by the Europeans. You see, that's
reality. Not true.
Now you have Aristoteles or whatever his name is, who way back talk about putting one stick here and one stick there to try and prove some kind of thing, right? So, but otherwise, you can't find no ancient civilization, right? Who depict no spinning ball inside no earth. Like I said before,
that's not true. The Sumerians did, and the ancient Africans did.
Okay, well, okay. Like I said, I'm telling you where it became a big thing. Right? Now,
in Europe.
When you come on again, I'll bring my proof of that, and you can bring your proof of any other ancient.
Well, I didn't tell you where the proof is.
Hold on, but wait a minute. Now you see, we need to understand certain simple concepts, my brother. Right. And one of the simple concepts we need to understand is the properties and the principles of water.
Oh, let's all talk right? about water. Let's talk about all the flat water droplets when it rains.
I don't know no flat water.
Exactly, because they turn into balls.
Butter. I'm talking about water, brother. All right,
rain. Rain is water.
I'm talking about water. I'm talking about water undisturbed. Water when undisturbed, right? Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is always level. That's why they call it sea level, because the sea is level. You understand?
Right.
That's why they put
water. Do you want us to talk about what that means?
Listen carefully now. And that's why they put water inside the tool what they use in construction, because water is the best thing to determine if a surface is level or not. You
right.
understand? Water always flows.
And the air bubble is circle. The air bubble, because I do construction. The air bubble in the level is not flat. It's circle.
Listen carefully.
It's a sphere.
Water always flows to the lowest point. Right? If you pour water on the floor, you can tell exactly how your floor is set, because the water is going to flow and it's going to settle in the lowest part of your floor.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And when it settles, the top of that is going to be level. You understand that? All right, water cannot flow uphill, right? So according to the globe itself, right, when you look at the globe, the Nile River flowing uphill, brother. According to the globe, the Nile mm-hmm. flowing uphill. Water can't flow uphill.
You know, they turned the same way people that developed.
I'm just dropping some stuff.
I know I told you I wasn't here, because somebody got into hell in the room and it ain't me, because I wasn't here. But you know
the
brother. Same Eurocentric... paradigm flipped the map and told you that south was north and north.
If you go into the records of the ancient Africans, what they're calling north was originally south, and what was originally, when you go up the Nile, you're going south.
Now when we picture the world in the global sphere floating in space surrounding the sun, circling revolution around the sun, rotating around the sun, right? We picture the North Pole and the South Pole, mm-hmm. right? And that the bottom of the Earth that was during that circular spin is Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
You are now suggesting that Antarctica may be on top and the bottom of the Earth...
No, if you're in a boundless universe, there is no up and down in space. Up and down is in relation to what a reference point. When you're in space, as they refer to, there's no up and down.
There's no up and down?
No. There's no up and down. This is why the idea that you can only look at the map in one way is something that was given to us. Right? So you have what's called a Peter's true projection map, which shows you Africa and the other continents in their more original relative sizes, right? And then you have the versions of the maps. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but you have the versions that we have been introduced to in school, where you think, or we have been taught, that Africa is similar in size to South America, and that mm-hmm. England is bigger than it is, and Greenland is bigger than it is, et cetera, et cetera. So they've deliberately caused us to not have a proper perspective of land mass. Mm-hmm. They've also deliberately made north, south, and south, north, and east, west, and west, east. And you can see, no different than what they did here in the Bahamas. They tell you Cat Island and San Salvador, they switched them. San Salvador is Cat Island, and Cat Island is San Salvador. They did it right here in this country and confused the whole world. Now, if we could do it right here in the Bahamas, why you think Europe can't do it to confuse the whole world?
But not just to confuse the whole world. Let's be a little more succinct. As a part of an agenda, a white supremacist agenda,
yes,
to convince the indigenous peoples of the planet that it is their God that created all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So they made their lands bigger. They said, oh, we're going to flip the map because we are on top. The psychological impact, the visual impact of that psychologically has been tremendous.
Yes.
We have more callers. The phone line is lit. But before I go to the phone line, how come the sun is a gas and the moon isn't a gas reflected light? How can a solid sun, a solid moon we can land and walk on, reflecting light? But let's go to the callers and what you think on that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to the callers on that, because they have the moon is solid, but the sun is gas.
There is a partial.
And they're supposed to be made of the same thing.
Anyway, so,
no, you think about that. Let's go ahead to the callers. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Uncle, Aaron, and CA.
Hey, 52.
Yeah, CA, the phone is lit, and my mind's about to split, right? Thank you, Uncle, for the. I mean, you know, the thing is, I'm surprised that an intelligent mind would conceive that the earth is flat, given all the information, things that we can see. So, Rasta, who called previously, he had said that I am brainwashed by what I'm taught. But it was not what I'm taught and what I've read, it's what I also can observe. So, I don't know if he has ever looked through a telescope. Because, you know, I used to be in the States, and a cousin of mine was in college, and I used to look through the telescope. He used to teach me a lot of things. But why is it that most of these planets appear around? And another thing is, right, Anku, he didn't understand what you was telling him about the circle in the level that
exactly.
They actually tried to prove, give credence, because the person flew on a plane, and the level didn't really deviate, the bubble in the level didn't deviate. But firstly, it's so complicated to discuss CNUE. You and Aaron would have to do a two-hour show, because nobody... And Anku should know about this, the curve drop parabolic calculations, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need an advanced curve calculator to prove that the earth is round. But I think he mentioned one of the famous scientists earlier with simply proving that the earth was round by using a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put a stick thousands of miles from each other or certain distances incrementally to the earth, you will see that the shadow is different, right, Anku?
Yeah.
It's almost like the dial clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Anko is able to understand these things, but this is a much conversation. So as it relates to the sun, liquid, and the moon, this and that, remember now there's the exosphere, which will be the final one, right, Anko?
Mm-hmm.
At the exosphere. And so at the exosphere, they say it's basically helium and hydrogen. So all of those are gases. But I would just like to say that even when you observe people in Australia from down south, they observe the Earth from down south in the South Pole and the North Pole. The moon
exactly
looks different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, satellites wouldn't work if the earth was flat.
The toilet actually flushes the opposite way in Australia.
There's a lot of debunking here. Also, why is it that all of the calculations are in aligned with a sphere?
Mm-hmm.
15 degrees is 1 hour. 24 times 15, right? It's 360 degrees. So even the Pythagoreans, the Pythagoreans knew that the earth was round. But he actually gave the information in reverse. The flat earth theory is just is more recent versus the global the round sphere. So the only thing I can give him credence for is the Earth is a little flattened, because it's flattened at the poles. This is why we have months of daylight in the North and South Pole respectively. With correct angle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the fact that it's an ellipsoid, that means it's not a perfect sphere.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying, Anku? It bulges at the equator because the sunlight hits the different objects at different angles, and this is why you have the shadow on the simple theory of using a stick to prove that the earth is round.
Mm.
All right? Bless up.
And they use wells as well.
We got some text. But I think it's more important to question why do people believe in a flat earth, right? Like, as opposed to coming off as denigrating. I'm not saying anybody here is doing that, but what's more fascinating is why do people...
I'm just happy. I'm happy people are thinking. So you don't have to agree with what I say or whatever, but I'm happy people are at least thinking.
All right, let's go to text line. Calhoun, Uncle Sarah, could you tell the audience where your church is located? As an individual who wanted to know.
Sure.
Or contact number. So
yeah, 426-1148. 426-1148. We are off of Wolf Road on Woods Alley.
Okay.
Absolutely. text says, flat earthers are lost. And then another text says, can you repeat what you said about Cat Island and San Salvador? Okay, so the late Idris Munka, Cat Island man, educator, has given a number of lectures on the subject matter. You could search his name, Idris Munka, Cat Island, San Salvador. And so in his lecture, what he describes is that Christopher Columbus actually landed on Cat Island. What we call Cat Island today.
This can tie right into our conversation.
Right, the rock we call Cat Island today is actually the San Salvador of historical documentation. And that there was a land deal that caused them to switch the names. Mm-hmm. Because I imagine you can't sell San Salvador, the landing place of Christopher Columbus. Mm-hmm. You can't just up and sell it. Mm-hmm. So that's my presumption.
I can debunk that another time. But let's go to the callers. Mm-hmm. The reason why, because they had changed the name to Watlands Island in the early 1500s.
But see,
and San Salvador, the current San Salvador name was Watlands Island. But I don't want to talk about that now because
we have that same discussion. If you come in towards the Bahamas, you can see the highest point of land first. Which is on Cat Island.
They didn't see the highest point, like they saw a light. The light was going to be on top of that because the Arawaks live by the beach.
Yeah,
They saw light. They ain't seen no tallest part. They saw light. Let's go to the tallest part. You don't think
the Arawaks knew they needed to put light up high for the other boatman? I'm a boatman, a seaman for 500 years on the ocean.
Let's put it to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it was in the year 2000 when us amateur radio operators actually had an astronaut in the space station who was a ham radio operator. And we were able to talk to him.
Wow.
All right. And in fact, to this very day, if you log on to NASA's website, you will know when the station is passing over us and you can see it. Anyway, he explained to us exactly how the space station stays in orbit, and the word orbit means circle, simply because they are in a constant free fall. While the Earth is moving in one direction, they're moving in the opposite, and they are in constant free fall, and it goes around. Now, if the Earth were flat, the rainbow would be a straight line. But the rainbow is actually a circle. You only can see a half of it because you only own one half.
What about the dome, which is a semicircle?
Yeah, but you can't see the complete circle from your vantage point because you even if you were out in space, you can't see in the back of something that's round.
Give me a second, caller. If you are actually able to observe a full rainbow, you'll realize that the rainbow is actually a circle.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, and that's what he's saying.
I wanted to tell Cecil.
But let me finish and then I go on.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, when you can appreciate the relationship that weight, density, and mass has, then you would clearly understand that you're dealing with something round, because on planet Earth, you could be 180 pounds, but if you go to the moon, you only weigh 30, one-sixth of that weight.
Yes.
Right? But then you have objects that's as small as a marble in space that weighs a trillion tons.
Yes.
That's because of density. You have something that weighs 2 tons but could float on the water. That's because of density. So when you understand those three equations, you realize that if you have something solid and you heat it, it will become liquid. If you heat the liquid, it will become water into vapor. And then when you heat that gas, you get plasma. And if you're smart enough to create plasma, you'll definitely realize how round this place is because you just created the sun. Have a nice day.
Uncle, thank you, caller.
Can you be a Christian and believe in flat earth?
I'm sure you can.
Is that flying in the face of creation?
Well, I think we are all at different levels of our growth and understanding. I think that the Most High is merciful in understanding that we as a growing population, a growing humanity, that we have different levels of understanding. I don't think you should be cast into hell because you don't have a proper understanding of physics. You understand, or gravity. So yes, you can definitely be a Christian and think that the Earth is flat.
I mean, I show about three people calling in right now to say if you don't think the Earth is flat, then you're not a Christian.
And let me just say, vice versa.
Let's get to that caller there too for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Do you believe in flat earth, or do you believe this earth round?
Good day, Larry.
Good day.
And good day to Aaron Green and Uncle.
Why good day, call my full name? He called my full name for Jesus.
Uncle Zerah. Listen, yes, every man has a right to decide his own destiny. If they want to do it, got 10 sides, that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do it flat, that's on them.
Right.
You understand? If you want to do it round, that's on me.
Exactly.
But I can't get into the deepest 52 of them, and that's what call is, but I call to say, if you're a Christian, then Isaiah 45, verse 7, Aaron, grab your thing and read it while I'm on the air. Isaiah 45, 7 will tell you exactly who created what and what created who. Now read it before I go.
Okay, she's looking up now, but we have called this child. Let her read it for you, okay? Or do you call back before it over? Isaiah 45, yeah. Verse what?
Seven.
Okay. Let's go to the next caller there, producer. Aaron, look for that. Go ahead, caller. Can you? Or are you talking to them? Go ahead, Corey. Can you hear us?
Yeah, see, how you doing? Yeah, this is me. Are you on?
Yeah, we got to make it quick. Aaron, going to read something right now.
I can try to make it quick. The whole stuff of the space station, the bunch of noise. Let me say something to you. The Earth is supposed to curve 8 inches per mile squared. You know what I mean? It's about 8 inches per mile squared. That means that over certain distances, you're not supposed to be able to see certain things, right? So my point is this. See, I like to believe, I like to put things down. Like, if certain things is, then certain things can be. All right. Now, if you could see, right, distances that you're not supposed to be able to see because of a curve, then that means it can't be a curve. They cannot prove a curve. You understand where I come from? They tell you that boats go over the horizon, right? But then they tell you that the Earth's so big you can't notice a curve. But when you go to the beach and you look from left to right, I mean, you see miles and miles and miles that the boat could go over the horizon. You're supposed to at least see a little bump in the middle, right? Right? Yes or no?
I know, no.
Okay, but when you talk about the Earth is round, a plate is round, but a plate is not a ball, right? And if you were to imagine that the middle of the plate was the north, right, was the true north, right?
Uh-huh.
That means that if you were to start out in the middle of the plate and go to the edges, as you go to the edges, from no matter where you go from, behind you would be north. That means that every place outward would be south. You understand where I come from? Because the middle is the north, and Polaris is directly over the North Pole, over the so-called magnetic north. You understand where I'm coming from? And that is where the vortex is. That is where the rotation is. All right? Now you could navigate around a plate, CA. You know what I mean? Like you could start on one end of the plate, and you could take your finger, and you could go around the plate, and you could come right back around where you started from.
I can
again.
Give you 30 more seconds to say this.
Right?
No, no, okay, let me ask you a question. Hold on. Let me ask you this. This is a question here. This is a question here. You will listen to the question, man, because I'm giving you 30 more seconds to answer one more question. And the question was being, how do you explain daylight and dusk and dawn and dark, right? But you was a listening man. I'm just going to ask you the question. Go ahead. But read that scripture.
And the round raindrops.
And the round
Isaiah 45 and 7. The quote starts from 6. Isaiah 6, 45 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
All right.
God created evil?
That's what it said just now.
That's what it said.
And God.
Once you know, I didn't create it.
And God created darkness? So darkness didn't exist before? Anyway, that's Isaiah. You can't, Isaiah what again?
45 and 7.
Yeah, let's say that. So, there are a number of people who actually believe that this world we in is not a globe, it's not a sphere, that is some flat land that has a invisible dome, a circular dome, that separates the water above from the water below, that this atmospheric pressure type thing is proven that the earth is flat. And if you go in the center of the earth, there are people living inside the center of the earth, like animals and things and animal bird and all of that. And you were saying that can't be.
You didn't say that part.
Or they say
no, that's conflating different ideas. Right. So there is an inner earth, right? There are caverns in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This has been proven. All right. But the idea that you're gonna have a round Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Saturn, all of them are round, but then Earth is flat. That's the part I can't really, and the sun as well. Mm-hmm. All right. There's no flat sun. Okay. But the Earth is flat.
Mm-hmm. So if I could read these texts quickly for you, Nuri. Flying river in the Amazon, each fully grown tree dispenses between 200 to 1,000 liters of water into the atmosphere each day. And the entire Amazon forest dispenses on average 20 billion tons of water each day into the atmosphere, which amounts to more than the amount of fresh water that flows from the Amazon rivers into the ocean each day. Research the waters above the firmament, Genesis 1 and 6. If the moon and stars and sun and everything we can see in the skies is round, why would the earth be flat? Texter, congrats on creating a showcase. Their text, I'm not even going to read that. We're not going to disparage people who believe different things. Imagine if I disparaged you because of that. That would be unfair.
It was a great show, Uncle Sora. Thank you very much.
I wish we had more time.
We needed more time to delve inside this. But this has been Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green.
I wasn't here.
You wasn't here. And thank you very much for Calhoun, Uncle Sora.
Thanks for having me.
Who is the pastor of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, was located off of East Street or Wolf Road?
Off of Wolf Road. Off of Wolf Alley.
Throw your number again.
426-1148. 426-1148.
This has been a great day. Have a wonderful day.